1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared unto Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, ask what I shall give thee. What a thought. When the omnipotent God says, write your own request. If the Lord will help me, and I think he will, I want to preach to you on a message I've entitled, The Curse of the Monkey's Paw. Father, how do you say thank you to a God that has been so gracious to us this week so far? We have actually sensed the very presence of God throughout this entire meeting as you've hovered around here. Such singing that has lifted us into the very vestibule of heaven. Preaching that's challenged our hearts for many days to come. But oh God, the burden that we have felt resting upon us here. Not a man-made burden, not a burden of the brethren, but oh, that sweet Holy Ghost burden that gives us a hope of a redemption. Now, Father, again this morning, would you just stand by me? Again, I don't ask for limelight nor applaudance, God, but oh, God, for that anointing that transforms a man and makes him a prophet in the sense of the New Testament. Would you let the sweet Holy Ghost hover around this little congregation this morning? And Lord, would you reach into the heart, that secret place of that heart this morning that you've dealt with me about? And would you cause them to willingly unlock the door and let you inside that they might really know what it is to be free? Father, if you'll do these things for us, we'll give you the praise and the honor and all the glory, for we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. The congregation said, amen. I know it's an unusual title, but stay with me. You'll understand after a while. What shall I give thee? It's an age-old question. Wise men from every nation, from every time in life, have read our text and pondered its story. Tales have been written from every land in the world and from every time in life. They have told the moral, tried to imagine what a man would desire if he was offered such an opportunity. My title this day has been taken from one of those tall tales of years gone by. It was not a preacher, not a prophet, but a poet by the name of Byron who said this, there is not a joy that the world can give like those that it takes away. And all gifts that come not from heaven are like the fairy gold that turns to dust. Solomon dreamed, and God was in the dream. Ask what I shall give thee. My brother, tell me your dreams. And I'll tell you your life. Tell me your prayers. And I'll tell you the story of your soul. I don't need to know what you possess. Just let me know what you want to possess. And I will give you the measure. There was a story. An old monk of Tibet, maybe, traveled through a poor country and stopped at the home of a broken down old coal miner who no longer is even able to work. And after supper that night, he began to tell stories. And he took from his robe a monkey's paw, the front paw from a monkey. And he told a story. And he told that old man, this paw has great power, but if there's also a danger, why do I carry it? You see, in years gone by, when the game masters would capture the monkey, they would take these vessels with just a small opening in the top. And they'd put them out there under those trees. And in every one of them, they'd put a little shiny trinket. Something that would reflect light. Now that monkey could open-handed slip his paw into that vessel. But when he closed his hand and held it in his hand, he couldn't get his paw out. But did you know those monkeys were so fascinated by that trinket that they, you see, he couldn't climb that tree with that vessel on his arm. But he would give up his freedom, spend the rest of his life in a cage because he wouldn't open his hand and turn loose what he was holding on to. What is it that you've clasped in your hand and you've refused to turn loose of until God can't do what he wants to do in your life? What will it take for God to really have free course among the church that he bought with his own blood? What are you hanging on to? What's holding you back? What is that thing that you'll give up all of this? Let me tell you this. You can't have this and hold on to that. What's it going to take for us to realize that all of this is just things and stuff? When it's all piled up in the biggest pile. I heard the testimony of a man who had become a wealthy millionaire by going in to Cambodia and the Vietnam country and buying and trading and exporting there. But when that country started going down, now this man says he is a spirit-filled Christian. And he said when that country started going down, that he said that the Spirit of the Lord moved on him and said, get your family and get out now. And he said, I listened and I barely got my family out before the communist regime closed in. But with a catch in his voice and a tear in his eye, he said, I left over $1 million that I had made there for the communists to use. If I had had a vision beyond my own self, too late I realized what I could have done to the missionaries of the world with $1 million. Oh, I felt a little cold breeze on that. What is it you're holding on to? What is it that you will lose all of this just to hold it in your hand? The old man thought about that in the story. He thinks about that. And he goes to bed with that monkey's paw in the story of the old man. In the story, he gets up in the night and finds that paw laying on the mantel and holds that little thing in his hands. And he says, I wish upon this paw for enough money that I'll never have to worry about anything again. And he lays it down. His son is a coal miner. Deep mines. Maybe the very next day, that dreadful sound that comes in the mountains. If you've never been in where the deep mines are, there's no dreadful sound than that whistle blowing. They've been a cave-in. Everybody in the camp wonders if that's theirs. There's been an explosion there. The word comes to him, your son has been killed in a mining accident today. Unbeknownst to you, he took out an insurance policy. He's gone, but you'll never have to worry about anything again the rest of your life financially. And it's a story, just a story. But the man goes back to the mantle after the funeral and looks at it. I wish that my son was alive. And then he realizes what could happen from that. And so he turns and he throws the monkey's paw in the fire and it burns. And he wakes up and realizes it was only a dream. But was it? Is there something that you've wished on, that you've dreamed about, that you've held on to, that you've got a hold of today, that while the Spirit of the Lord has hovered around this meeting and we've preached like we've preached and the Holy Ghost has moved us together and made us one together, is there something that you might need this morning to bring and throw in the fire of the Holy Ghost to where it's burned up forever and out of the way and you'll know what it is to be free? Do you remember King Midas? You remember him? Boy, ain't we having fun. Fairy tales. You know, Midas, have you ever heard the story, the Midas touch? They say, boy, that guy has got the Midas touch. Everything he touches turns to gold. You know, that was his wish. He loved gold so much, he wished that everything he laid his hands on would turn to gold. But he failed to realize that the stake he picked up was gold now. And as the horror of it set in on him, and you remember the story? His little daughter ran and jumped in his arms and turned to a statue of gold. The very thing that he wanted so bad has killed. I feel the Holy Ghost is fixing to help me. Has killed everything that he loved. The Bible says of Noah, Noah was a righteous man. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was the last of the nobility of heaven. And God preserved his family. But that ain't the end of the story. Let me ask you, how in the world can a man like Noah go from such nobility to such degradation? To where we find him, whatever interpretation you want to put on that end, whatever you want to think that happened with Ham, we do know that the race of Ham were cursed forever because of something that went on in that tent. Because Noah, great God Almighty, Noah quit building altars and started planting vineyards. He got more interested in the farm than in the power of God. I know we're in farming country. I remember the first mechanical baler, hay baler that come in our country. This fellow that I knew borrowed money and bought a tractor and a rake and a hay baler and started custom baling hay. And boy, we are so glad. Because up until that time, we had done it by hand with a pitchfork and paid my haystacks. The mules drove it. Yeah, you understand? But you know what? With thunder rolling and lightning flashing, and a field full of hay, and a contract. It come Wednesday night, and at 6 o'clock, he shut the tractor off, got out of the field, and went to the house of God. It rained, thundered, lightened. I had a sure enough gully washer in less than a quarter of a mile of where that big field of hay was. But where that field of hay was, it never rained a drop that night. Amen. I know there's some things I know about. Amen. There's some things that are more important than planting another vineyard. Jacob caused his daughter to lose her purity, his sons to commit murder, all because he stopped at Shechem when he should have been at Bethel. And I know the Bible said he built an altar there. But I'm going to tell you something. God has a prescribed way we worship him. I've heard folks tell me, you know, I worship God on the lake just like at a Canaan church. Not on a Sunday you don't. Not on a Wednesday night you don't. Uh-uh. The only way you worship God is on God's altar. You may build you an altar, and a lot of people have. You may have your way of worship, and a lot of people's doing it, but God ain't in it. He built his altar, but he built it in the wrong place. This man forgot about building altars. Was it worth it? Was what you gave up to get the victory, to get the world? I knew a distant cousin of mine. We were poor, but we didn't know any difference. But he was rich. He had a sawmill, built barns and houses and out of the lumber that he cut out of the timber, sawed out. But my mama, my grandma, have told me of the revival that broke out at Ram's Horn on Asa Flat. That's where my grandpa and grandma Williams got in wholeness. Wholeness come into our part of the country, unheard of. Now my grandma Winnie, she was half Cherokee and half Dutch and all devil. She's a big raw bone mountain woman. And they got to go into the wholeness meeting because there wasn't nothing else to do. But my grandpa John got under old time conviction. And he got to praying in that meeting. And the more he prayed, the meaner my grandma got. But I ain't going back tomorrow night. But there ain't nowhere else to go. One night in that meeting, there's a lady there in that meeting. She had been, she was just about ready to be delivered of a child. And she got to shouting and dancing and running up and down the aisles and fell out on that old floor. My grandma got up and stumbled out of there, stomped her foot, said that old fool, so she'd be dead by in the morning, she ought to be. But you see, the meaner she got, the sweeter grandpa got, and the sweeter them two old preacher boys, she talked about them old boys. I mean, she talked about them. But the next night, Winnie, you going to church tonight? Yeah. Cause I want to find out what happened to that old foolish woman that got up and acted like that. Said, I want to find out. So the church they got. Now they got there a little late that night. Music had already started. They'd done commenced to singing. And if you've heard me tell any of our biography, you know this story. My grandma come through the doors, and the first person she saw shouting was that woman that had shouted the night before. She is still a shouting and a dancing. Grandma come right straight onto the altar, throw her hands up and begin to pray, ask God to save her. Ask God to move on her. She wasn't getting nowhere. After a while, she stopped and she said, "Where's them brothers at?" Called them my name. Said, "Come over here and lay your hands on me." Said, "God's, I got to repent here. Get right with God." Amen. It was in those kind of meetings when we learned how to trust God. It was there in that place that they pick up where I left off. I don't know that I need to go that way. I feel the Lord moving here, but we'll see. I just want you to understand that I felt like telling you that there's some things you have to turn loose of. And if you do, you'll know the freedom. It wasn't long before after that that my grandpa gave his Mackinac away, walked home in the rain, and took down in the spring of the year with double pneumonia. Double pneumonia, there's no cure for it in those days. They had church again at Ram's Horn, and they said, "Where's Uncle John?" And they said, "He took down double pneumonia, bound to die, spring of the year." You know what they did? They dismissed church, took their old coal log lanterns, walked out that old muddy road, went down the holler, come down to my grandpa's house, and they said, "Hey, John, you in there?" Now, the house that I was born in, it was the living room of the day, but it's a bedroom at night. We just scooted the bed over in the corner because there's just four rooms. I know you may have had five rooms and a bath. We had four rooms and a path. And there was in there, there he was by the grate in the living room, in his bed, burning up with fever, choking to death. The old saints of God gathered around him. You know, in those days, they didn't just go and pray for the sick. They stayed till something happened. They prayed. They sang. They prayed some more. Somebody testified. After a while, a pair of God fell. They shouted some. Grandpa said, "We need to get me my overhauls. I'm feeling better." While there's a singing and a shouting under those covers, he slipped his overhauls on over his long john. They prayed some more. After a while, a pair of God fell in that place. My grandpa throwed them covers. They went to shouting and to dancing. He danced out the door, down the old steps, out in the old mud road, and danced up and down the road in his barefoot mud. The next day, he got uphill by the power of God. Amen. What are we giving up? And what have we got from it? What's it cost you? You got what you wanted, but what's it cost you? Oh, man, I'm going to go ahead and say it. Oh, man, he wasn't an older man then, but he run in that meeting and got under conviction, got to praying. And my mama said, I saw Malcolm Wells get up and run out of that building. And he run out in the cornfield, the side of the building there where they'd been shocking corn, had corn shock. And he run his head back in one of them corn shocks. And he said that the Lord said, me or the money, which? He said, I'm standing on the right hand. You're going to die and leave every bit of it one of these days. Everything there is going to be gone, burned up in a little, piled up a pile. It's going to be burned up one of these days. Dust and ashes. It don't mean anything. In the end, the only thing that matters is you can call on heaven and heaven can come by and bless you. We used to sing, take this whole world and give me Jesus and shout while he's doing it because we mean it. Brother Wayne Holcomb from out Sand Springs there. He came to our meeting a couple of times. I love that old man. He's about my age. He's a prince of a man. I never knew his daddy, but I knew his mommy. And his mommy said that me and his daddy probably get along. I don't know how that'd be, but he said you preach like him a lot. I don't reckon I do from what I've heard. But he walked across our country. He looked at our church. He looked at the 19 3/4 acres of land. He looked at that big old fellowship hall with a full basement and showers and bathrooms and bedrooms. The county commissioner said call them classrooms. And them classrooms. He looked at all we got there. And he said to me, he said, Brother John, he said, I don't want to offend you. He said, but I've looked at all of this. And I said, well, I know where he's going. He said, I looked at your little congregation. He said, everything here says money. He said, but I don't see money in your people. I don't see the money that could build this. He said, tell me. I said, I don't either. I said, but I'll tell you what, when we started it, when we come up out of the ground, let me tell you something. Holiness will put you on the mountain. You'd have never heard of me if I'd have been a compromising preacher. You'd have never heard of me if I'd have went in that country trying to do something else. But we took a church that they said was the worldliest church in the country, and I had to backslide to take it and brought it out and put it on the map for holiness. And I took a bunch of young boys who would look at a job offer and turned down a wage. Oh, now don't jump back up here now. They would turn down money on the air rather than miss church on a church tonight. Tell me how we've done it. I don't know. But I'd rather have the blessing of God on a dime than a dollar that the devil tried to give me. Amen. Praise God. I may be like John Wesley. They said when he died, he had a couple of pounds English, a box of silver spoons that had been his mother's, and nothing else. And then the biographer said, oh yeah, one other thing he left. He left the Methodist Church. He left the Methodist Church. We might never have anything in this world, but I'm going to tell you something. There ain't nothing as exciting as trusting God. You know why we ain't seeing God do it? Because we don't need it. We're sufficient without it. Amen. We don't need God doing it. Most of our people. Now, I'm going to tell you, I hope you don't get mad at me, but prosperity has killed the homeless people. One little girl come to me and my wife crying and bawling and squalling. And her daddy's was a deacon in that church. She said, Daddy, come to me today. She said, I bought you another farm today when I'm gone. Talked about all it. She looked at me and my wife, and I'll never forget it. She said, I don't want a farm. I want a daddy. I want a daddy. We've got homes splitting up and falling apart in every way because mama's got one job and dad's got another. Some babysitter's taking care of your kids. In the beginning, it was not so. It promised us prosperity. It promised us something pretty. But when you put your hand on it, it became a curse to you. And now you won't turn it loose. I got too much money to pay my tithes. Brother Nimble, I had one of them deals like you're talking about. That guy came in. He's third generation welfare. And he prayed and got to getting along pretty good. Come to church one night and told me, said, the transmission's going out of my old car. I said, is that right? You know what he thought? He thought we'd take him up offer and buy him one. You know what I said? I said, Richard, you been paying your tithes? What? Am I in trouble? Come on, I was born for it, so it don't matter. He said, I can't afford it. I said, you can't afford not to. I said, you cut a lot of wood the other day and sell it? Yeah, what'd you get out of it? $25? What'd you do with it? Well, I should have. I said, the first 10% of it should have been brought to the house of God. And I said, if you'll try that, my friend, you try that. And if it don't work, you keep it down. I'll give you back everything you spent. Because God is not a liar. And he'll open the windows of heaven. Yeah, I didn't just go to Kentucky preaching against tobacco. I mean, there was a wild in those mountains. On Monday morning, they'd meet at the courthouse in McKee, and they'd talk about what that wild man down yonder at Bond said last night. I was preaching for one fella. He's milking cows. And he couldn't get to church because his dairy was messed up at night. He's milking. And I was trying to have a revival. They wanted the prayer line. I mean, 25, 30 people got lined up in it. You didn't think you were going to get by all week without me preaching a little meddling, did you? Now, you heard my reputation. You knew better than that. They lined up to get prayed for, and I said, huh? I said, you know why you're sick? Because you're God robbers. You won't support your pastor. I said, he asked for milk. I said, he'd come in here, and he ain't got time. I said, if you'd do what you ought to do, pay your tithes and be faithful. I said, he could quit that old cow business and go to seek in the face of God. He'd have power in God to visit you and pray you out of your trouble. Oh, yeah, he may look good, but it's a curse of a monkey's paw. Each new day brings the question and repeats it. You're offered privileges. There's opportunities. But what troubles me this morning, as I felt the Lord helping me, is I wonder if you're standing on the border in Kadesh Barnea looking into the promised land and you're halted. You can't. God never backs up. God always goes forward. And you can't stop or he'll walk off and leave you. They stood here after all they had seen, after all they'd experienced, after all they'd been through, and they stood on the brink of the promised land, held the fruit in their hands, and let 10 men talk them out of it. God, oh Lord, I want to be sweet right here. God, help me. God, deliver me from those folk that's lost their vision and tell me I can't do it. God can't do it. It can't be done. They said it couldn't be done, but come on down this year and we'll show it to you. It's sitting there. Amen. And we didn't compromise with one thing to get it, and they wouldn't one millionaire paid off anything. I don't know how it come in, nickels and dimes and dollars and quarters. We had a little problem over holiness when I'd been at Bond 2 years. And, you know, men that had the money, didn't they thought we ought to have a ball team. Everybody else had one. They want somebody else to have a ball team. Why can't we have one? I said, because I'm not an umpire, I'm a holiness preacher. I like a hot dog good as you do, but I'm not going to let the prayer meeting be replaced by a hot dog service. So they decided that they'd just starve me out. Well, I mean, you can tell they missed it. One of them, two of them actually repented and came back to me and told me what was going on, how they had secret meetings and decided how they're going to get rid of the pastor. And he said, Brother Johnny, I know we're in trouble. I know we're in trouble. When that first Sunday night, when we held out your offering, and when they announced it, it was within $2 of what it had been the last time. I don't know how that happened. It happened for a month or two until things finally exploded, and they left, and they said, you left locked the doors, and said, this building will be torn down a little while. And you know what? They was right. We tore it down and built a big one. But I went among my congregation. I've asked them, did you put in more money? No, I didn't have more to put in. I done give all I could give. Where'd it come from? Well, my daddy owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And the same God that told Peter to go down and cast that rod out there and pull that money out of the fish, I believe he had an angel sitting on the back seat throwing $10 bills in the offering. Explain it any way you want to, but we went on. I'm telling you, folk, what we're needing, whatever it is, God, I don't care what it is. I'll turn loose of it if I can have the power of God again and the anointing of God again. And the conviction power of God will sweep our community. Standing on the brink of it. But that was the last opportunity. Tomorrow they changed their mind, but it was too late. That art is gone. Gone forever. Solomon asks for an understanding heart. To know good from evil. To know how to go in and out before his people. And God gave him his request. And then he sent to him riches and honor. You know, God will give you anything he can trust you with. He will. I'm not advocating to go back to those one-room schools built on stilts one side of the wall. I'm glad for an air-conditioned car. But, and God will bless you with anything he can trust you with. And he wants to. He wants to bless you as good. I've had folks tell me, now God will give you needs, but he won't give you your wants. He's giving me something I just wanted. I was passing that old church and didn't have two nickels to rub together. And I told somebody the other day, I said, we as poor as George Turkey. I said, I was born a poor man. And I've hung on to most of it. But Brother Steve, it was squirrel hunting time. That used to be in the mountains. I mean, squirrel season was something. It's like folks get excited about deer hunting now. I mean, the night before, we'd set up all our old guns up, you know, and count our bullets and plan our hunt. I mean, you'd plan it like you was having a military campaign. And I tell you what, I'm going to do it daylight in the morning. I'm going to go out on Turkey Pin Ridge, and I'm going to head down there, what they call the Long Holler, and I'm going to go around the edge of the top of the cliffs where them big hickories are at. Well, I'm going to go over here, Old Tussie Hill, and I'm going to go in there. Well, after Ann and I married, and I can tell you, there's times after when Brent was born, I walked up to that. They ain't like it is now. I couldn't even touch him for a while. I walked in and looked at him, sitting there through the glass. And I said, son, you probably won't never have a lot of boys of God. I said, in fact, right now today, I ain't got the money to buy you out of here. I said, you might not ever have a shiny new bicycle. I don't know. Because that wasn't part of the contract I signed with the master. I said, but I'll promise you one thing that you'll have that I never did have. You'll never wake up in the morning with your dad ranting and raving and a cussing and breaking the plates and turning the table over and running your family off. You'll never know what that is. What you will do, you wake up to a mama who's calling on God. You wake up to a kitchen where the Holy Ghost is interrupting her making biscuits and she's praising God and shouting. You wake up to a daddy that'll live the best he can in front of you. I still have the letter that Brent wrote when you had to read the man that had the most influence in your life more than any other man. You know who it was? It was his daddy. But you know, it got squirrel season that year. And I didn't have a gun of no kind. I thought, boy, I sure would. Love to go squirrel hunting. There's no mixed up dog that come to my house. And I tried to make a squirrel dog out of him. Hadn't done too good at it. But there's a man out the road that went to a pretty liberal church, but he'd been watching us. He drove up my house one evening, and he said, "Why you take that old dog?" I said, "Jim, that old dog ain't no count." I said, "He's young, and he's treated a squirrel or two, but he ain't no count. He said, "Well, I tell you what." He said, "I traded for an old gun the other day that I don't need." He said, "If you'll just follow me on out the house," he said, "I'll give you that gun for that dog." He loaded the dog up. I followed him out there. When he walked out on the back porch, it wasn't just an old gun. It was my favorite gun, a double-barrel shotgun with a full box of shells. I said, "I can't do this." He said, "You have to." You do what you want to. I believe if you listen, I'm not preaching doom and gloom to you. I'm telling you that you'll give up what you don't need. God will replace it with something you do need. I'm telling you, if you'll open your hand up and say, here it is, Lord. I want you to fill it what you fill it with. You watch out. God will bless us like we ain't never seen. This is part and parcel of what it's going to take to have this last day move of God. Well, Jake, I'm going to take it and throw it in the fire of the Holy Ghost and say, burn it up, Lord. Burn it up, Lord. Because all that matters in the hour that I'm living in is to know which you're going to choose. Choice is ours again today. Again today, here we are. Here we are. Middle of this meeting. Here we are with the Lord. Your Lord. And your Master. Talking to you. You know that there's some things that you get along without. If you have to defend it, there's something wrong with it. Now, you might go to heaven. You might go to heaven doing what you're doing. But I know I can go to heaven not doing it. So you take your kids if you want to and set them down in front of one of these big name groups somewhere and let them put on a show, and a show is all it is. And you know the difference. But I'm going to tell you something. You take your kids out there to that gospel concert and you let them watch them painted ladies with their earbobs a-jingling. A mimic in what we do in the church. And talk about feeling the power of God. He'll plant something in your children that you'll never get out of them. Jumping on nobody else, and I'm not lectionarying for nothing. I got a call one day, and they told me that, Brother Jake, they told me that I'd been voted on to preach a camp meeting. I didn't get it. But I said, I couldn't have been voted on. I said, I wasn't running. He said, well, I was the one nominated. He said, you know what that one of the men said? When the preacher said when he's preaching like you heard yesterday. We probably about selling this many tapes today. He said, but you can't trust that feller. Said somewhere in that meeting, he said he'll milk that bucket full and then kick it over. And I probably kicked the bucket over this morning and took the bucket and beat the cow over the horn so she left the field. But you know as well as I do, church, and I promise you, I'm trying to preach this the best I can. Somebody told me that I look so mean when I was preaching, and so I'm trying to look better. Somebody that knows me, and I just more took my picture over here the other night, and he said, smile, and somebody that knows me said, he is. As close as it gets. But you know as well as I do, what we do in moderation, the next generation will do to the hilt. You may be able to go to whatever the flag is or the silver dollar city is or whatever it is that your hero is to go to. But I'm going to tell you something. One more generation and these kids will be going to Disneyland. And so I've drove me a stake right here. Live, die, sink, or swim. I ain't backing up on none of the thing. And I'm not going to fell out with you and disfellowship you if you do. But don't try to justify. It makes me wonder why you got to. And don't unchristianize me because I don't. We have get-togethers in our church. We have times out there. They play that cornholing game or whatever it is where they throw the, you know, they play, they pitch horseshoes and they do other things. I don't. But I don't care if I'm doing it. Come on, preacher, and pray with us. Because you can't respect me in the pulpit tomorrow if you gouge me in the ribs on the ball team today. And we've degraded the ministry low enough. There is a little hierarchy. We're confident of something with them. There's a little higher calling. And so I'm telling us, if God deals with you, don't you justify it. My little old sweet niece was the cutest little thing I thought ever was. That long ponytail. And she liked to wear a baseball cap. And she put that ponytail through it. And Pastor Uncle John never said a word about it. But at about just 8 or 10 years old, in her bedroom, she prayed and come out with a sack full of those hats and said, here, Mom, do something with these. And Mom said, well, why? She said, I just felt like the Lord told me I'd be more of a lady without them. Boy, I felt some cold waves right there. Whatever happened to the Holy Ghost convicting us and talking to us and telling us You got your hands so full of other things, God can't bless you. It may look like a blessing, but it'll turn into a curse. And so the danger is that we're, especially when we're getting older, to just be a grandpa and not be the patriarch. But I'll come tell you, and I promise you, I tried this morning to baptize this in my tears so it'd be easier. But we are holding on to things, and our kids are watching us. We're so afraid of losing a generation that we're afraid to tell them the truth. I know it's horrible when you're, oh, I'm trying to quit. I'm watching it. I'm trying to. I know it's horrible when your little kids come and say, but so-and-so does. What do I answer them? I'm not responsible for them, but I am you. I can't help that they're out there. My, that part of my country went crazy when I told my young people, 11 o'clock's curfew, unless you're with mom and daddy. You're not going nowhere unchaperoned. And it ain't going to be little sister Susie doing the chaperoning either, because she can get distracted. One said, Pastor, don't you trust me? I said, I love you.
Yeah.
I don't trust my flesh nowhere, but I love you.
Yeah.
And it ain't because I don't trust you. I just don't want you talked about.
Right.
I love you so good, I'm going to fix it so I can't talk about you.
All right.
Yeah. I told them, I told my kids, I said, it's a sin for premarital kiss. And that one mama looked at me, not the kids, mama looked at me and said, don't you remember what it was to be 16? I said, I sure enough do. That's why I'm preaching like I am. But I'm going to tell you something. They ain't no red-blooded boy or girl that can kiss and embrace and turn away as innocent as you was before you did. Brother preacher, you crazy, I know it. But I'm having a time and enjoying it. Let me tell you something. That kiss, that embrace, is the fore promise of something that you cannot lawfully do without a marriage vow. Mama, I'm trying to help you. These things are coming in here, and I'm just talking to you. There's some things that are so dangerous, and we're not seeing the danger of it. Jehoshaphat knew when he went down there to what Ahab was. It didn't bother him, Jehoshaphat. It didn't bother Jehoshaphat to eat dinner with him. But while he was eating dinner, I'm trying to quit this, but I'm telling you something. I feel the Lord. I won't talk to you. I may never be back this way again, but I want to talk to you while I'm here. While he was eating dinner, his boy was talking to a young girl that was Ahab's daughter. And I don't know what that conversation was about, but he never could forget that worldly girl. And when he became king, he went down there and married her and brought her. Dad, you may have never attended for that, but he can't handle what you can handle. Well, Brother Calvert, I want my kids to form their own convictions. I do too. But it's like I told Brent, until you get your own conviction, you're going to live mine. Amen. When you pray through, get your own convictions, then I won't be no problem anyway. It was just a, what can I give you? What do you want? The possibility of it. The unlimited of it. What do you want? What is it that you really want more than anything else this morning? What are you dreaming about? I can tell you, none of the rest of it matters. There used to be an old song they played back in the hills on the radio. And it was, I can't sing. I really can't sing. I told him it wasn't fair for a man to sing like he can and then preach too. But they sang that song. How many times have I heard somebody say, if I had his money, I'd do things my way. But little they know, it's so hard to find one rich man in 10 with a satisfied mind. Money can't buy what really matters. We've never had anything hardly, we've never had hardly anything. But all the kids in the community that had things come and play with Brent. Now, they had all the finest toys. I didn't buy them for him. I couldn't afford to. Some things he didn't need. But you know what? That one little girl coming, Jake, I'll never forget it. She sat on the couch to talk to me and my wife. She just started praying at our church. She come from a family, you know. The first time she come to church, she come with a little short dress and no holler top deal. I thought, and she prayed. I thought, you won't last as long as a snowball in July. But you know what? She come to our house to talk to us. And she sat there in that little poor living room we had. She put her arms like this and she kind of hugged herself. And she said, boy, it feels good here. It feels good here. Noah, they don't need another vineyard. They need a daddy. They need a daddy that'll teach them how to be a man. They need a mama that'll be home. Some of the most comforting things I have. We'd do good for a while. We'd gather up stuff and things. We'd have cows and hogs and look like we're going to do pretty good. And then my dad would start singing one of them old ballads. He'd start walking from the house to the pond. I was his baby boy. And I watched him. After a while, he'd come in the house and he'd go in his bedroom and take that old harness and put it on and slip his gun in there and put his shirt over it. And he'd come to the front door and my mom wouldn't say a word. He'd take that other gun down, put it in his hip pocket, and he's gone. Sometimes weeks at a time. Mama had it all on her. But I remember coming home from school, walking across the Gal graveyard and then over the hill, about 2 miles from school there, first grade. I remember coming over that hill. Hadn't seen my daddy for a while. But when I got up, when I look over the hill, brother, I seen the old smoke, wood smoke, coming out of that old wood cook stove. And when I got where I could hear her, I heard my mama singing, precious memories, unseen angel, and dreamed his mommy's table. Mama, they don't need you working a job. I know I'm meddling. They need a mama. And mama, they don't need a buddy. They need a mommy. They don't need a friend. They need a mommy. A daddy. Open your hand up. Turn them baubles and trinkets you think you got to have to live loose. And see what God will do for you in this hour that we're living in. God will help us. I feel the Lord around here this morning as I've tried to talk to you. Some things you don't need. Are you hearing me? There's some things that I see the Pentecostal people picking up that we don't need. I might not give you chapter and verse for it, but where did you have more power of God? I know the age we're in, but you don't need to spend 3 or 4 hours in front of the screen. And those kids don't need those trinkets. But with one push of the button, they can have anything in their imagination of this world. You know, there's sometimes kids would actually wish you'd tell them no. They'd like to be able to say to their friends, I can't do it. Daddy won't let me. I made my mind up. And listen, I love my daddy. I thought my daddy was the biggest, strongest man in the world. But you see, the seed he sowed in Johnny was that wild seed. The saddest thing I ever said, right today it bothers me all these days. An old man, 2 o'clock in the morning, sitting in no rocking chair, wondering where his baby's at. And I come home, and there I sit. And he said, son, what in the world are you doing? Why are you acting like you're acting? And I looked around at him, and I said, I am my father's son. And I saw a grown man bust down and cry. Too late, he had realized the seed he'd sowed. And listen, boys, you ain't got no time to sow no wild oats. Because the harvest coming. I feel the Lord are helping me, and I'm trying to shut. I know I don't preach this long, and I don't preach like this, and I've never been here before. And some of you, I don't know, but I know I spent a restless night last night, and tormented dreams, and breaking up crying, and saying, God, I face is coming before me that you're holding on to something, you're buying a deal you don't need, and you ain't a hearing me. They'll be gone after a while. Too late. I've preached along with, I've preached, I don't know when, if you call it preaching. But I've talked to you out of my heart. I hope you understand that. I hope you accept that as the heart of a man. I don't know you, but I love you. And I know there's some things I can't change. And I'm not going to lose tomorrow fighting over yesterday. I got enough sense. I ain't going to do that. But I'm going to try to save today. And if we will, I don't know how to end this. I don't know if you've got enough intestinal fortitude to answer what I'm fixing to ask you. Because I'm going to ask you to get up and come up around this front, everybody that can. Get on these altars and say, Lord, I want you, with all honesty, to turn the searchlight on my heart. And let me see me the way you see me. I'd rather see it now than to see it when it's too late. Oh, we're standing on the very brink of the promised land. But too many people are still thinking about Egypt. And I ain't got time to preach all that. But if we miss it, what about if this is the revival that God decides to walk through these lowlands of Virginia or of Georgia? What if this is the meeting that he said, I'm going to really see if those folks want revival. I'm going to visit the old men and the young men. And the old men are going to dream dreams of high, better things. And the young men are going to be challenged to deeper visions. And what about if we stand here and say, we can't do that. That won't work in our age. We can't do that. We're in a different time. It's the same devil that you fought, friend. He's the same devil. They may have things and stuff and baubles, but it's the same devil and the same trick. And the same thing that defeated him in your day and brought sanctified living will do it in the hour that me and you are living in. But it's going to take us. It's going to take you and me saying, Lord, whatever it takes, wherever you want me to do, I'll do it. And then do it. Whatever it is. You know, you may think that because you're 80 years old, it's over. But Moses got a new call. And an old man led the way into the promised land. You may think you're just a young man and you can't do anything. But if you will be willing to go to the pit and to the prison, he'll put you on the throne. Let's pray. Stand with me all over this place, would you? I want to challenge us. Somebody can come and play some music if they want to. But I want to challenge you. I'll challenge you to come around these altars. Seniority ain't going to buy me 1 ounce of heaven. I want to make sure. I want my heart sure. I want you to turn the searchlight on my heart. And I want to see what there is. And if there's a possibility. Amen. As they sang the song, young man, young lady, if you turn your heart over to God, it ain't tell what God might do. Sir, if you can prove to God he can trust you, he'll open the windows of heaven. There's treasures you ain't ever beheld. Come on. Come on. The Holy Ghost has come here this morning to do business with you. He's come here to talk to you this morning. He wants to do business with you.